чтобы ловить ее. Нужна уникальность я. Потенциальная мужчина, женщина.
Why would people bring this about? The history of that is pretty apparent, isn't it? You're in the middle of a great big war. You have reason to believe that the Germans may be working on a new weapon. You at least want to know what it would be if they got it, preferably to get it yourself if it's available. I don't find anything very strange there. It was a fantastic weapon, but so was radar.
And I believe sincerely that the most impelling motive that has lain behind the conversations which were successfully concluded yesterday between Russia and the United States was the desire of both countries for peace, the desire for the strengthening of the peaceful purpose of the civilized world.
You can make a case, I think, that though if I had to do it over again, I'd rather not have nuclear weapons in the world. But it may well be that the world is just a hell of a lot more peaceful than it would have been without them.
The question that the peril of extinction puts before the living is this: who would miss human life if they extinguished it? To which the only honest answer is nobody. That being so, we have to admit that extinction is no loss, since there can't be a loss when there is no loser. And we are thus driven to seek the meaning of extinction in the mere anticipation of it by the living, whose lives this anticipation corrupts and degrades.
Every morning, 6 days a week, I leave the house and drive a mile to the flat where I work. For 7 or 8 hours, I'm alone. Each time I hear a sudden whining in the air, or hear one of the more atrocious impacts of city life, or play host to a certain kind of unwelcome thought, I can't help wondering how it might be.
Missile warning, this is Beale. Stand by for confidence reporting.
SSCO, no malfunction.
Missile warning, no malfunction.
Keep trying. Missile warning, this is Beale. Confidence is high. I repeat, confidence is high. Roger, we've got 32 targets in track and 10 impacting points. To confirm, is this an exercise? Roger, copy. This is not an exercise.
Hey, I gotta go.
Suppose I survive. Suppose my eyes aren't pouring down my face. Suppose I am untouched by the hurricane of secondary missiles that all mortar, metal, and glass has abruptly become. Suppose all this. I shall be obliged, and it's the last thing I'll feel like doing, to retrace that long mile home, through the firestorm, the remains of the 1,000-mile-an-hour winds, the warped atoms, the groveling dead. Then, God willing, if I still have the strength, and of course if they are still alive, I must find my wife and children, and I must kill them. What am I to do with thoughts like these? What is anyone to do with thoughts like these?
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Had there been an actual emergency, your local station would have broadcast the following pre-recorded announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Are you ready?
to you by IMAX. Action wear for today's radioactive life form. Stay cool, stay longer, stay with IMAX. And now for your listening pleasure. It's that time again. Time for Blast from the Past, our daily ramble down memory lane. Some of you older folks might even remember when this one went up.
For the first time in atomic history, America gets a ringside seat at a blast of its most awesome weapon. On Yucca Flat, Nevada, press, radio, and newsreel men converge for the test, which is witnessed by Gordon Dean, heading the Atomic Commission. Seldom has any event had the news coverage accorded the blast, which is designed to test the bomb for its value as a tactical and support weapon for ground troops. Scores of planes had their assigned jobs in the operation, and every step is under the scrutiny of camera lenses. More than 1,400 selected troops move into foxholes 3.5 miles from ground zero, the projected center of the explosion. Theirs is a history-making role. The foxholes have been dug 4.5 feet deep, and GIs have been instructed to keep their heads down during the atomic flash. Overhead at 32,000 feet, a bomber is circling with its devastating bomb. Now it is 0-10 seconds to H hour, and the atmosphere is tense around the ground zero target. Had this bomb fallen on New York, 500,000 would have been dead or injured. In these swirling clouds, man's fate lies awaiting the future.
Yeah, what a boiler! Those were the days when the future was something you talked about. Well, if there's anyone out there who remembers, don't bother to remind us! No, seriously, folks, we'd love to hear all about it. Really, we would. It's just that we don't give a f-
It's quite a prospect. Soon the people will all be gone, and I will be alone forever. The human beings around here are in very bad shape. What with the solar radiation, the immunity problem, the rat and roach diet, and so on. They are the last, but they can't last. Though try telling them that. Here they come again, staggering out to watch the hell of sunset. They all suffer from diseases and delusions. They all believe that they are... But let the poor bastards be. Now I feel free to bear my secret. I am the immortal. Already I've been around for an incredibly long time. If time is money, then I'm the last of the big spenders. I once stayed awake for 7 years on end, not even a nap. Boy, was I bushed. On the other hand, when I was ill in Mongolia that time, I sacked out for a whole decade. At a loose end, cooling my heels in a Saharan oasis, for 18 months I picked my nose. The first ice age took out the dinosaurs. Or so the theory goes. I know different.
What do you call this thing? Why, something from the dinosaur family.
Dinosaur, eh?
Yes, Jack. A prehistoric beast.
They could have made it. If they'd tightened their belt and behaved sensibly.
Just look
The tropics were a little stifling and gloomy, true, but perfectly habitable.
If I could only bring back one of these alive.
No, the dinosaurs had it coming. A very bad crowd. Those Lost World adventure movies got the dinosaurs dead right. Incredibly stupid, incredibly touchy, and incredibly big. And always brawling. The place was like a whaling yard. I was on the fire by then, of course, and so I ate very well. With burgers every night. My suicide bits, well, date back to the Middle Ages. I was forever throwing myself off mountains and stuff, boulder overcoats and so on. They never worked. Christ, I've been hit by lightning more times than I care to remember and live to tell the tale. I once copped a meteorite full in the face. Had quite a job crawling out from under it and felt off color all afternoon. Apocalypse happened in the year AD 2045. When I was sure it was coming, I headed straight for the action, Tokyo. I was pretty much ready to quit. Not that I was particularly depressed or anything. I certainly wasn't as depressed as I am now. In fact, I'd recently emerged from a 5-year hangover, and for me, the future looked bright. But the planet was in desperate shape by then, and I wanted no part of it anymore. I wanted out. I leased a top-floor room at the Century Inn near Tokyo Tower, bang in the middle of town. I wanted to take this one right on the nose. When I heard the sirens and the air whine, I sprang to my feet and stood there, nude, on tiptoe, with my arms outstretched, and then it came, like the universe being unzipped.
2020, and the time disease is epidemic. In my credit group, anyway. And yours too, friend, unless I miss my guess. Nobody thinks about anything else anymore. Oh yeah, except the sky, of course. The poor sky. It's a thing, it's a situation. We all think about time, catching time, coming down with time. I'm still okay, I think, for the time being.
Thank you.
I took out my hand mirror. Everybody carries at least one hand mirror now. On the zip trains, you see whole carloads jackknifed over in taut scrutiny of their hairlines and eye sockets. The anxiety is as electric as the twanging cable above our heads. They say more people are laid low by time anxiety than by time itself. But only time is fatal. It's a problem, we agree, a definite feature. How can you change the subject when there's only one subject? People don't want to talk about the sky. They don't want to talk about the sky, and I don't blame them. So I took out my hand mirror and gave myself a 10-second scan. Lower gum line, left eyelash count. I felt so heartened that I moved carefully into the kitchen and cracked out a beer. I ate a hero and a ham salad. I lit another cigarette. Now, some say that time was caused by congestion, air plague, city life, and city life is the only kind of life there is these days. Others say that time was a result of the first nuclear conflicts, limited theater, Persia versus Pakistan, Zaire versus Nigeria, so on. No really big deal or anything. They took the heat and the light, and we took the cold and the dark. It helped fuck the sky, that factor. And more particularly, of the saturation TV coverage that followed. All day the screen writhed with flesh, flesh dying or living in a queer state of age. Still others say that time was an evolutionary consequence of humankind's ventures into space. They shouldn't have gone out there, what with things so rocky back home. Food, pornography, the cancer cure. Me, I think it's the 20th century that did it. The 20th century was all it took. Happy?
Is that you, Lou?
It's me.
I'll unlatch the door, but don't come in right away.
Sure.
Okay.
Now, I have to tell you, the two things puzzled me here. First, the voice. Second, the alacrity. Usually when she's in this state, you can hardly hear the woman, and it takes an hour or more for her to get to the door and back into bed again. Yeah, I thought. She must have been waiting with her fingers poised on the handle. There's nothing wrong with Happy. The lady is fine. Fine. So, in I went. She had the long black nets up over the sack, streaming, glistening. A crib for the devil's progeny. I moved through the gloom to the bedside chair and sat myself down with a grunt. A familiar chair, a familiar vigil. Mind if I don't smoke? It's not the lung burn. I just get tuckered out lighting the damn things all the time. Understand what I mean? How are you feeling, Happy? Now listen, kid. You gotta quit this nonsense. I know it's problematic with the new role and everything, but do I have to tell you again what happened to Day Montague? Do I, Happy? Do I? You're 40 years old. You look fantastic. Let me tell you what Greg Buzzhardt said to me when he saw the outtakes last week. You know Greg. He said, style, class, presence, sincerity. Look at the ratings. Look at the profiles. Happy Faraday is the woman of men's dreams. That's what he said. He said, Happy Faraday. The voice came from behind me. I swiveled and felt the twinge of tendons in my neck. Happy stood in a channel of bathroom light, and also in the softer channel or haze of her slip of silk. She stood there as vivid as health itself, as graphic as youth, with her own light sources, the eyes, the mouth, the hair, the dips and curves of that flaring throat. The silk fell to her feet. Glass fell from my hand, and something else dropped or plunged inside my chest. Oh, Christ. Happy, I'm sorry. I remember what the sky was like when the sky was young. its shawls and fleeces, its bears and whales, its cusps and clefts, a sky of gray, a sky of blue, a sky of spice. But now the sky has gone, and we face different heavens. Some vital casing has left our lives. Up there now, I think, a kind of turnaround occurs. Time fear collects up there and comes back to us in the form of time. It's the sky. The sky, the fucking sky! If enough people believe that a thing is real or happening, then it seems that the thing must happen, must go for real. Against all odds and expectations, these are magical times we're living in. Proletarian magic. Gray magic. Oh, Christ. Happy. I'm sorry. I panicked back there in the bungalow bedroom with the shoot of light, the altered woman, and my own being so quickly stretched by fragility and fear. Lie down. Call Trackman. Oh, Christ, Happy, put on your robe.
Come on, Lou. Be realistic. Look at me.
And I looked. Yeah, her skin had that shiny telltale succulence all over. Her hair, which a week ago, goddammit, lay as thin and colorless as my own, was humming with body and glow. And the mouth, Christ, lips all full and wet. And an animal tongue, like a heart. Not Happy's, the tongue of another woman. Bigger, greedier, younger. Younger, classic time. Oh, classic.
Come here, Lou. Over here on the bed. I need you now. I'm scared. I'm so scared, Lou. Comfort me.
I was in a ticklish state of nerves, as you'd imagine. Time isn't infectious. We do know that about time. But sickness in any form won't draw a body nearer, and I wanted all my distance. Stay out, it says. And I saw. I saw it in her breasts. High but heavy, their little points tender, detailed, time inflamed, and the smell of deep memory, tidal, submarine. I knew the kind of comfort she wanted. Yes, and time often takes them this way, I thought, in my slow and stately terror. This far. Go further.
Come closer.
Go closer.
Nearer.
Nearer.
Closer.
Closer.
You've come this
far. Do it for her. For her and for old time's sake.
For me and for old time's sake.
I stirred, ready to let her have all that head and hand could give. Until I, too, felt the fever in my lines of heat, the swell and smell of youth and death. This is suicide, and I don't care. I don't care! During the last hours, just before dawn, I got to my feet and crept to the window and looked up at the aching, the hurting sky. I felt myself gray and softly twanging for a moment, like a coat hanger left to shimmer on the pole, with Happy there behind me, alone in her bed and her hot death. Honey? I like it. What do I like? I like the love. This is suicide. and I don't care.
Been listening to Scenes from Radio Einstein, a 6-part NPR Playhouse production. You can hear the complete programs this July and August to coincide with the anniversary of Hiroshima. The fictional portions of Radio Einstein are based on short stories by the acclaimed novelist Martin Amis. The non-fictional portions come from archival material, eyewitness accounts, and the thoughts and writings of nuclear scientists. Radio Einstein is produced by Peabody Award winner Mark Ward and WBUR Boston. Thank you.